In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven and Earth, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today I wish you all a happy solemnity of Christ the King. This feast was established on the last Sunday of Ordinary Time by Pope Pius the 12th, I believe, or maybe it was the 11th. I think maybe it was the 11th. I get my Piuses mixed up sometimes. But whoever it was, the Pope established this Sunday, the last Sunday of Ordinary Time, to focus on the kingship of Christ, that Christ is King of heaven and earth. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, mainly because as he saw the signs of the time in which we were living, he recognized that there were many others who were trying to establish other kinds of kingdoms or princedoms, you might say, since, you know, first and foremost, the devil is the prince of this world. He's not a king. He's not equal to Christ. That's why Christ is king. The devil is only a prince, and we know that means he's far less powerful. But he does have his dominion in this world. And it says that, of course, his rule is to all those who are enslaved to him by sin. But Christ, his kingdom is not one of making slaves of people, but rather bring us true freedom. Those who have Christ as their king are truly free, because he is, as we see this imagery in the gospel and in the readings today, Christ is king, but he's also shepherd. His shepherding us, like his kingdom is like a shepherd who wants to lead and guide his flock. And he's going to separate those who are his followers from those who refuse to follow him, of course, at the end of the world. That's very clear in the gospel today. And so, is Christ's kingdom, though, some people may think, well, it's in heaven. That's where his kingdom will be permanently established. But his kingdom is already here on earth. It says in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that the seeds of the kingdom are already sown here on earth in his church. Christ's kingdom is already here in its initial stages, beginning stages. It's already firmly established here on earth in his church, because he has his vicar here. A vicar is one who, you might say, is in charge while the king is away, or while the king is not here to in person. His vicar rules on his behalf. And we know who his vicar is. The visible head of the church here on earth is the Pope. And the invisible head of the church is Christ. But someday, and we hear that very clearly, Christ is going to come. And when he comes a second time in person, he's going to finally establish everything as it was to be from the very beginning. He's going to place all of God's enemies under his footstool, you know. They're going to all be put asunder. And all those who are in obedience to Christ, who are his faithful followers, Christ on behalf of all them is then going to submit himself to the Father as that supreme act of obedience. That he establishes the right order of things for all times, forever. And this is what the Pope saw as being the problem, is that many people were trying to establish another order than the one that God established. And that order, of course, was established when he established his kingdom in the church. The right order of things is when we live the gospel, when we practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, when we are obedient to Christ. That's how we know we have his kingship, is that we obey him, just like an earthly king. If you have a king in name only and no one obeys him, then you're not really his subject. You're only his subject to the degree that you obey all of his legitimate commands. And we know with Christ being the perfect king, he will never ask us to do anything that is wrong. We can't say the same thing about earthly kings. There have been kings in the past, and we can see that kings who don't follow God's ways end up being tyrants. And we have one, you know, very close to us today who wasn't even appointed like a king, but he still can be a tyrant when you don't follow God's order. And established, you might say, to the degree that you follow Christ and he rules over you, then you will be a good ruler. Because, of course, all authority comes from Christ. All authority comes from God. And that is the problem today, is that mankind is trying to get out from under God's rule and establish what he thinks is freedom. He thinks he's going to be free to the degree that he divorces himself from God and his order, and that's not the case. He's going to be the biggest slave of all, because he'll be either a slave to his passions, a slave to whatever it may be, but ultimately he'll be a slave under the prince of this world, under the dominion of Satan. And that's what Christ came in the first place, as he established his throne on the cross. You know, as we hear that song, the King of Love on Calvary. Well, that's where he established his kingdom, and he finally put the devil and all of his enemies, you might say initially, he defeated them. And he established his church to bring us that true freedom. Today, the church, as one of its suggestions to Catholics, is that today you can reconsecrate yourself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You can get a plenary indulgence today if you do that. If you recite the consecration of humanity to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you can, in front of the Blessed Sacrament exposed, you can get a plenary indulgence. Why? Because that prayer is really incorporating what we want to do. We want to put ourselves under the service of the King. That's what any good subject does, is they consecrate themselves. You know, the knights of old, they consecrated themselves under the service of their King, that they would be their loyal soldier, their loyal subject. They would follow their King into battle, and they would not do anything that would bring dishonor to their King. And they would be faithful servants, subjects, soldiers, whatever part that they had to play in the kingdom, they wanted to be faithful to that. And also, in that prayer, it says that any good, loyal subject will also want to make reparation to the king for all those subjects who don't follow him, that they want to be, you might say, make up for those less faithful members of his kingdom. So it's a good prayer today to say, and I would encourage you, if you're not able to do it here, which we'll do during the holy hour this afternoon, but if you find, you know, Google the prayer of consecration of the human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and you have a perpetual adoration in your parish or in your near your house, go and recite it as a family or as an individual, and reconsecrate yourself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because really, it is, we're seeing right now this battle taking place very clearly in our culture between the kingship of Christ and the prince of this world who wants to establish his false order, or you might say the new order, the new world order. That really is all part of the devil's plan to subvert the established order that God had put into place. And he subverted it the first time in the Garden of Eden, when he got Adam and Eve to follow him instead of to obey God. And God sent his Son to reestablish that order, which he did at Calvary, and he reestablished his church. And to the degree that people have placed themselves under the dominion of Christ, because they have placed themselves under his church's governance, submitted themselves by faith to recognize in the church that it is Christ ruling them and guiding them, then we'll have the reign of Christ. Pius, the Pope, who issued that encyclical proclaiming the kingship of Christ, said, "You cannot have the peace of Christ without the reign of Christ." And you know, everybody wants peace in the world, but they don't want peace according to God's plan or to His way. They somehow think they can achieve it on a human way or some other way. But you cannot have, the Pope said, you cannot have the peace of Christ without the reign of Christ. And how do you know you have the reign of Christ? To that degree, you submit yourself to Christ. And the only the visible sign of that is placing yourself under the authority of His vicar. To that degree that you place yourself under the authority of Peter and his successor, then you will know that you're having the reign of Christ. And so really, the church's plan, the church's teaching about morals, about marriage, you know, individual human sexuality, all these teachings of the church, to the degree that they're followed and obeyed, we will have peace. If we reject them, the more we reject them, the more we're going to have the opposite of peace, which is war. Isn't that what Our Lady said? She said, war is the result of sin. And we want peace in the world. And I think that's why, in one sense, our Lord, when He was on His establishing His kingdom, that King of Love on Calvary, He gave us His Queen Mother to be our mother so that we could truly enact and follow and be loyal and submissive followers of Christ, because His mother was His greatest subject, the one who followed Him and obeyed Him with her whole heart, soul, and mind, and loved Him. Obedience and love go together. You can't say you love someone if you don't obey them. I remember our novice master one time said that he was being, as a little child, he was being very precocious, and he was being very disobedient to his mother. And so he thought, as a little child, you know, he tried to mush his mother up, you know. So he went over and he gave her a big hug. And she says, well, don't give me a hug if you're not going to obey me, you know. Don't try to make, you know, to try and, you know, pretend that you love me if you don't obey me. And then really that's the essence. Our Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's the same in the human family. It's the same in the family of God. That is the degree that we show our love for Christ, that we obey Him. Things are so simple when you follow God. And so today, as we pray on this, the kingship of Christ, we need to put into place and to enact. As our Lord said, you know, in the gospel, you know, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. All those corporal works of mercy are important, but also the spiritual works of mercy. You know, the reason why He only mentions the corporal there, the fathers and doctors of the church say, is because if you're not even doing the corporal, which are so obvious, then you weren't even doing the spiritual, which are even probably, you might say, more important. So that's why He's just condemning them, because they didn't even have the delicacy, you might say, and sensitivity to even practice the corporal works. And we know that for the last few decades at least, one of the most important spiritual works of mercy is to enlighten the ignorant. And with this catechetical crisis that we've had in the church for the last 40, 50 years, we have been sorely seeing the fruits of that lack of charity, that we didn't see that to instruct people in the teaching of the faith in a proper way has been to the detriment of our society today. And so we need to get back to these basics, this corporal and spiritual works of mercy, because really they incorporate and they flesh out the gospel in a very practical way. And if we're not doing those things, then we really are failing to be His loyal subjects. We want to reject sin, that's first and foremost, but we also want to do the deeds and the works that Christ has asked us to do. He says, go out to all the nations and tell the good news and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is where His reign is established in every human heart, at baptism. And to the degree that we follow that grace that has been planted in our hearts, that we live out that fidelity that we have vowed in our baptismal consecration, then we will be rewarded at the end of our lives by being brought into His kingdom for all eternity. Let us pray. in a special way, that, you know, the church's teaching will be made known, both by word, but most importantly by our example, that we follow it. And then people will see truly that there's the fruit, because goodness, truth, and beauty will always endure. Falsehood, lies, and deceit will always be brought asunder. They will never succeed. And so that's what you have to do, is you have to be faithful to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise be Jesus and Mary.